1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults, by young adults.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlantis Catholic Radio. Super pumped to be here on this beautiful, brisk morning in Cake Lake, Winnetoba.
Okay.
The biggest little town in northern Minnesota. Wow. That's what it's known for. Check it out, Cake Lake, Winnetoba.
I pray for the day that I can actually come without blacked out windows so I can know where we are and see what it looks like outside. I hope it's beautiful.
It's a weird guerrilla marketing ploy how they just drop this box with a studio in it at random places, hand me a cue card that says where we are.
It works. I mean, now we have 1,200 and something followers on YouTube, so it's whatever we're doing is working.
And we're racking up great miles on the card.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Because plane tickets are one thing, but shipping a container from state to state.
From the feeling and the noise, I think they hook us up to like a Chinook or one of those big helicopters and just fly us there. That's what it feels like. Maybe it's multiple choppers. I don't know.
But how would we know?
No, I wouldn't know. I've not left this room in 7 years. my oldest child was 5 when I saw him last. Anyway, we've got a great episode today on Honest to God. We've got vets, but vets we haven't seen in a while, at least in your case. Where have you been?
Under a rock.
Tessa hasn't been. We haven't seen you in...
I haven't heard of half the news that we were talking about earlier. So.
Yeah, we were catching her up on the 2-year-old latest Bud Light scandal.
You're also underselling Tessa. She's not only a vet, she's also one of the faces of Honest to God.
There's
the business card. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, she's the way Lord's better looking than you or I am, and so that worked out.
That's probably why they picked her face.
That'd be pretty great. I want to work for Honest to God when no one who's here regularly is on the business card. They just pick the most attractive panelists we've ever had and be like, here we are, Honest to God. We've decided that we're never aging out, right? A young adult is always 1 year older than whatever we are.
That's right, yeah. So if you are under the age of John Henry and I, congratulations, you are a perpetual young adult.
Are you 89? Were you born in 89?
89, yeah.
89,
yeah,
that's right. Great year.
Yeah, the last year of young adults. Yeah, congratulations. Wow. Actually, no, 88, because it's 1 year older than us. So if you're 88 and below.
I feel great right now.
Young adult.
We've got all of our lives ahead of us. Yep.
No, ours are basically over. Born in the 80s. We saw the Berlin Wall fall. The Braves win the World Series in 95.
Yeah, that's...
It was all downhill.
That's something.
It's
a hot topic.
Like 120 something days between Shrek being released and 9/11, and that was the peak of our existence, and it was all downhill. Yeah,
I think ours is probably COVID, right?
That is like a defining characteristic, isn't it?
For some, it was.
I had the best time during
honestly,
COVID.
Yeah.
Forget the topic. Let's talk about COVID for a while. It was the best for my family. We spent this great staycation. We went turkey hunting. We cleared a bunch of land. We had so much fun, me and my kids.
That's awesome.
If I could go back in time and give anybody COVID recommendations, I would say marry a really beautiful girl, have a bunch of kids with her, and then just like wait for it to happen, and you're gonna have so much fun.
That's awesome.
So before we get started, though, we do need to pray, and I think Tessa should have to pray.
Boom.
Okay. On
whenever
it.
You're ready.
Alrighty. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. Lord, we love you so much. We just thank you for every great thing that you have given us, especially just for being here today. Lord, we ask for, just humility and peace and everything good that comes from you in this room onto us and everyone listening and watching in their lives. And just bless us all here. We pray for everybody on the Chosen Cast. Since that's what we will be talking about today, and that you would just continue to bless them and to bless us here. And we ask this all in Our Lady's intercession as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Amen.
It's pretty good. 87 is what I would give it. I to still
girl bump?
No, not with the girl bump yet. Girl bump gives you 92. That's me.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, that was very good. You would have had an A flat out, but you did the rote prayer at the end, which is great. Our Lady, pray for us for sure.
Can't do anything without her, John Henry. Come on.
Yeah, no, I know. It was really good. It was a good prayer. Since when is an A minus a bad grade? I would love an A minus.
Yeah, no, real. You could go for one of the Marian titles, Mary Help of Christians. Pray for it instead of doing that. But the Hail Mary is so powerful.
The rubric that he's created that he is required by law to reduce the grade.
Yes.
He doesn't grade anymore, so
I didn't even give her that grade. That's just
if I were to grade it, it'd be 100 and there'd be all pencil stars.
Thank you.
Well, you're not allowed to grade either.
Only
so
because we brought Mary into it, right?
different strokes, different folks. Yeah.
Praise God.
Because we're not grading.
I have no idea what she actually would have gotten. We're talking about The Chosen today. Which I'm really excited about.
The Chosen.
Mm-hmm. I've made many a reference to The Chosen. I'm glad that we're actually going to do an episode on it. Yeah. Have you watched them, Julian?
I have. We're trying to watch it as a family. But did you know that we actually went to school with some extras that are on The Chosen?
I did know that. Yeah. Are you talking about Matt and Michelle?
That's right. Matt and Michelle. Yeah. Awesome. We don't do last names here, but no.
Great people, though. Big fan.
Yes.
Yeah. Big shout out to Owensboro.
I believe they like the Kentucky Derby, from what I've heard. They go every year. Yeah.
I get a Kentucky Derby invite every year, but I haven't gone.
Matt?
No, not to the actual thing, but to a derby party.
Oh.
And I had to go. It's fun.
Yeah, you should go bring Angie. Have her wear a nice hat. Rachel always wants to go so she can wear a fun hat.
It's not, what is it? Not hot toddies. Mint juleps, right? Isn't mint julep the what you're supposed to drink at the...
I've never been to a derby.
You've never been to a derby?
I feel like...
You've never been to a derby.
I've never been to a derby.
Oh, Grace, what are you doing with your life? Did you have a derby take, Tessa?
Well, my dad lives in Kentucky, but, isn't, bourbon the... I know nothing about derbies
bourbon
either.
Is what
but,
you
like,
a mint julep is just cold bourbon with a mint leaf.
And this is how much I know about alcohol,
right?
I didn't know.
We have special mint julep cups at my house.
Now I want to go try it.
Yeah, we got a lot of... My wife really likes the idea of making drinks, but she doesn't like to drink. So she likes to, mix things.
Yeah.
And I'm simple. I'm very much can you just put bourbon on ice in a glass? That's all I want. Mm-hmm. But no is the answer. No, she does not want to do that. She wants to make a concoction with her book. And then...
Yes.
That's good. She's good at everything, pretty much. Yeah. So,
How'd you like that bourbon at my house? Was it 1911 or
whatever? It was good. That was above my pay grade.
It was a gift. It was a gift for me. It was not mine. It was given to me, and it was great. Yeah.
Woodford's my go-to. Here's my... Because we're talking about bourbon.
This is now sponsored.
Yeah. So here's my bourbon take. I can tell the difference between a $10 bottom shelf bourbon and a $30, $40 bottle of bourbon. I cannot tell the difference between a $30, $40 bottle of bourbon and a $200 bottle of bourbon.
Okay.
So if I'm feeling fancy, I'll get a Woodford, right? Now, I have a bottle of Blanton's, which is a fancy schmancy bourbon, right? But I drank all of it because I like to drink bourbon. But now I take the cheap bourbon and I pour it into the Blanton's bottle, and it's not a lie, but if somebody comes over and asks me if they want some bourbon, and then I bring the Blanton's bottle out, I get a lot of compliments on the crappy bourbon that I poured into the nice bourbon glass.
But they have no idea.
Now they might, so.
Yeah, they can know this.
And they don't know we know they know.
Yeah. So this episode of Honest Guys is brought to you by Captain Morgan's Rum, interestingly enough. Rum by Captain Morgan. It is. It's not the fanciest, but it'll taste like rum. So try it out. They sell it at the liquor store up the road from me with the bars on the window.
So we probably should have made sure that we knew that beforehand before talking about bourbon.
Yeah, sorry. I hate
that. Sorry, Captain Morgan.
My notes for Captain Morgan. My wife liked Captain Morgan. She likes white rum. Yeah.
Okay.
My honeymoon. Here's what we did for my honeymoon. We bought a bottle of duty free white rum, and then we bought a big old can of pineapple juice, and we just drank. It was coconut rum. We drank coconut rum and pineapple juice the whole honeymoon. It was great.
There you go. And then you proceeded to watch every episode of The Chosen.
Yeah. Oh, that was a really good segue.
Yeah, it's not true, but
no, it wasn't.
It is a segue.
All right, but we do have to get down to brass tacks, though. And Tessa, you have to give us two fun facts because you've been gone for so long. You've earned another one back.
Oh my goodness. So okay.
I wasn't prepared for that.
Okay, one fun fact. Is that I don't know if I've said this before, but I'm totally colorblind.
Totally colorblind?
Well, not totally colorblind, but I am colorblind with blue-green, so I don't know if I mentioned that, but...
A lot of like, girls aren't typically colorblind,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, my dad has it, so...
Whoa!
And another fun fact is that I'm graduating soon, and I'll be entering a convent
soon. That's super exciting. That's so cool.
That'll be... Yeah, that's next, so...
You said Salesians, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Salesian Go sisters, St. John Bosco. Yeah. And St. Mary... St. Margaret... who's a Salesian sister?
Who oh, yes.
Was Bosco's
Mary
buddy?
Mazzarella?
Yes, something...
I was going to say mozzarella. Like mozzarella. And but I actually think it is mozzarella.
can I ask you why you're discerning with the Salesians?
Yeah, they were... I saw so many orders. Like, I went on a nun run, and I don't know if I ever mentioned that my conversion story, but yeah, and I did not, like, none of the orders matched with my heart, and then I met the Salesians and they did, so I was like, praise God. And then my birthday is also on St. Francis Sales Feast Day, so that was another, like, you know, awesome. Just little piece, so, you know, but they're just awesome. They're so full of joy. They love the young. I love the young. Everything is just
so what are you going to be doing?
like
next year,
like next year is formation, yeah. So that'll be like, I get to learn like about the order, I get to learn theology, I think theology, church history, stuff like that. So I'm really just getting formed, getting like a long...
Is it like classroom time? Is that how it
yeah,
works?
Yeah, class. I get to learn Italian, yeah. And then just also like cool. Living in community, being with the sisters, being, yeah.
So like basic training for
basic nuns. Training for religious yeah. life, yeah.
And I mentioned this off air, but the biggest bird, my sister-in-law, who just took her final vows, well, I guess it's been a year or so now, but... she said that her biggest frustration of her first year, her formation year, was the fact that the clothes she wore were similar to a nun habit, but you
but
shouldn't have the actual like habit. And so she just like she didn't have the piece on her head.
It's true.
And so she just wore like this weird tunic everywhere. And people were like, why is that girl wearing that weird tunic from the 1800s? And she said she was so excited after the first year when people finally saw her and she had the thing on her head. She's like, okay, that's a nun. She's wearing a habit. That makes sense.
It's like, I mean, since we're talking about The Chosen, I love like watching the women in the Chosen with these like beautiful like veils and stuff, and like there's a piece of me that wants to wear like this like just long flowy colorful veil. Unfortunately, like our habits are white, which is good, but like
they don't let you accessorize.
Yeah, no. It's not, but like it's not a very flowy like veil. It's beautiful, you know. But you know, The Chosen and the women in there, and I'm like, man,
I feel like you're keep trying to bring us back on topic, and I keep trying to go down.
No, that's okay. Hey.
I promise we're gonna dig into all things Chosen, but first, Grace is gonna give us a fun fact.
My fun facts. I was gonna say I was graduating, but that was kind of boring. So
no, not boring. New chapter.
Out of the last 3 weeks, I've been in Pittsburgh or Steubenville for two of them.
Wow.
So there's been a lot of traveling recently. But yeah, glad to be home, and I graduate in a month.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right. Well, cool. I wanna talk about all things Chosen. I don't wanna just talk about season four. And I wanna make sure that I'm clear from the beginning, much to my shame. I haven't watched all of season four. I watched the first episode of season four. Let me start by saying this. The reason I love The Chosen is because my dad loves The Chosen so much.
That's awesome.
My dad and I, who there's a lot of stuff politically speaking and from a religious standpoint that we can't really have a conversation about, but oh my goodness, we can have a conversation about The Chosen. Best granddad in the world of my children, great father, all of that stuff. But one thing that we really have in common is, and so the reason I've seen so much of The Chosen is because every time a new season of The Chosen comes out, my dad mails my wife and I the Blu-ray of The Chosen.
Awesome.
So that we can watch it. And it's one of the Chosen, the Andy Griffith Show, and the Twilight Zone are
our
three.
That's all you need.
Yeah, that will, really? Like, you guys have been really good. You want to watch something on TV? Yeah, we watch the Andy Griffith Show or the Chosen or the Twilight
Zone.
Yeah. So I'm all about the Chosen. I have so many nice things to say about it. But as I've been wont to do frequently, this is the part where I really rudely ask you, why the heck are you here? Like, why? I'm yet to find like a good way to say that.
Yeah.
Like, so what brings you to Honest to God?
Yeah.
You could just try. Who do you think you are?
Yes, that's a better way to say. That's more prudent. Who the heck do you think you are to sit down in this studio here in Cake Lake, Winnipeg, wherever we are in Minnesota, and talk about The Chosen? Why are you qualified?
Man, this is a funny question because I did not even know that we were filming this until literally yesterday.
That's how
and
we
then
roll.
It came past mm-hmm. my email and I was like, wait a minute, I've literally watched okay, so I started going like piece by piece because like my prayer life is like this too. Like I will sit in adoration and I'll just like something will come to mind and it's just very random. And so I did that with The Chosen. I was like, okay, watching episodes and it was beautiful. And then my mom ended up like wanting to start watching it and I was like, yeah, I should probably watch it from the beginning. Like I've never seen it from the beginning. And oh my gosh, like we started binge watching it in the beginning of my student teaching, which is a miracle that I had time to do that. But yeah, like started watching it and then it just became like me and my mom's thing and such a joy and my own prayer life too. And then now we're like, you know, connecting with it and we went to go see it in the movies, part one at least. So it's like our thing. It's like me and my mom's thing now. But
is the part one that was in the theaters, was that through mm-hmm. Palm Sunday? Is that?
Palm Sunday, a little bit of The Last Supper. Yeah. There's a bit of a timeline shift going on,
oh, okay.
But there's pieces of it.
It's cool how they set it up. Yeah. I don't know if you want to jump into that now or later, but...
We'll get into it. Okay. Now I want to hear why the heck Grace is here.
Yeah.
Who do you think you are?
Who do I think I am? Well, I was kind of in a similar boat. Like, I liked The Chosen.
My dad was sending you Blu-ray.
Yeah, and which was kind of weird, but I was like, thanks, Mr. Span. But anyway... I'd watched a couple episodes here and there and then I sort of forgot about it. And then during Lent, one of the things I gave up was watching TV, like in my own time. So I gave myself the exception. I was like, well, I'll give up TV except for The Chosen or like you know, religious movie.
Yeah.
But the only like religious show or movie I've been able to kind of bring myself to watch for the most part is The Chosen because it's just so well made.
Okay,
it really is.
The distinction is so good because I hope that what you said is, but I can watch religious stuff, which means you've got The Chosen, high production value, excellent story, really well done, and then like the Left Behind series that the Protestants made in the 1990s. Remember those? About like what happens after the rapture. Okay.
Whoa. Oh, yeah. So maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, if I'm in charge, if I were your spiritual director, which I should not be, I would say you can watch that and those weird Sherwood Baptist movies like Fireproof and Facing the Giants.
Yeah, Fireproof.
Which are, and you know what? Some of those
which
are really
excellent.
Great.
They are very good from a message standpoint.
Yeah.
They're really bad from a production value standpoint.
Got it.
Why The Chosen is so great and something I want to get into is... It's both. It's a killer story, but they don't put if you just come up with that. But they don't put message above like everything else. Mm-hmm. The art.
That was a really good point. The art.
It's so beautiful. Like the cinematography of it is just incredible. And there's a couple scenes I remember, especially as a Catholic, there's the one scene before Jesus is like about to enter Jerusalem and he's standing there with his mom, with Mama Mary, and they're just holding hands and they're looking at the city and it's like, oh my gosh, as a Catholic, it's like, this is what we're talking about, guys. Like, she's right there with Jesus. Yeah. That's why we want to talk to her and ask her to intercede for us.
Wow.
But just the shot was just so beautiful.
Can we talk more about Mary's depiction in The Chosen? Because I think that's one thing that I do so well. Because it's not a Catholic production, right?
Yeah.
It's Angel Studios, right? It's not. Is it still Angel, or do they move production
companies?
I think
it's now its own thing. Like, because I know they have, like, a Chosen app. Like, I used to watch on Angel Studios. Now I watch on, like, the Chosen app.
Well, but whatever it is, it's not Catholic, right? They're not the guys who are producing that are not Catholic.
Right.
The guys who are writers, as far as I know, aren't Catholic.
Yeah.
But it is so incredibly Catholic, and the depiction of Our Lady is so beautiful and humanizing, which is good on account of she was a human like we are.
That is like another huge thing is like seeing the humanness humanity there we go of like. Yeah, like Jesus and Mary both in The Chosen. Like, even that, I think it was the, it was in season 5, and similar to that moment that they had, I think it was on the donkey. It was like later in the episodes when Jesus comes to Mary and he's like talking, I can't remember exactly what they were talking about, but he's talking about like problems that he was having with his disciples not believing him. And she's like reminding him and like just encouraging him. And like, it's a really beautiful, like human moment between the both of them.
What I think so many shows, so many movies about Jesus in particular get so wrong is it Apollinarianism that denies the divinity or the humanity of Jesus Christ?
They're
Arianism denies the divinity. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But it's I think they're borderline heretical. You watch a lot of these because what they do is they show Jesus Christ as this stone, sort of distant, too good to be amongst us person.
Which is so not true.
And that is a literal heresy, right? The humanity of Christ in The Chosen is so good. In fact, I would argue, going back to a deeper cut, a decade and some change before The Chosen, why The Passion of the Christ is such an incredible movie that got so is not because of the brutal depictions of the Passion, which were realistic and awful. And I mean, I even let my kids watch it on Good Friday because it is this real visceral, painful. But it's those little cutscenes that they have with Jesus and his mom, like joking around, and Jesus and all these that humanize this person. You think, oh, this thing, this God is a man like me, because he was right. So I think The Chosen does an incredible job of that.
Yeah, you know that a lot of people don't know this. That Dallas Jenkins first he was the producer of also The Left Behind, which we just brought up.
Wow. One that I just made fun of.
Sorry, Dallas. But
he's a fan of the show.
He has employed not only a Catholic priest to be an advisor for The Chosen, but also a Jewish rabbi.
Oh, good.
I see.
That makes all the sense.
Yeah. And so it is much more Catholic, and so I guess they're not technically producers, they're advisors, but it really is, that's what's helping it.
I had no idea.
It's Catholicness,
That's another thing that's really shown through that I thought was so interesting was all these connections they've been making, like the prophecies of the Messiah coming, and how it's, like one of the things they showed was that for Passover they would anoint the lamb's feet, and like the lamb that they would slaughter. Mm-hmm. And, like, with the woman with the alabaster jar that comes and, like, breaks this anointed oil and, like, just showers Jesus' feet with it. It's, like, that's, like, a parallel that I have never put together.
Wow. Yeah.
And it was just so cool. The way they tie all these stories together and all these people, you see bits of yourself in each of the characters.
Yes. I love that. Yeah. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah, the historical accuracy piece is really top-notch. Like, I'm really impressed. Oh, and I didn't know the thing about the Jewish rabbi, which, once again, makes total and complete sense.
Yep.
I guess it doesn't just humanize Christ, but it makes it all much more realistic that these are real people in a real time. Because I think we as Christians, at least me in particular, right, has a tendency to almost put the gospel, not on purpose, but sort of subconsciously, on the same level that I might put, I don't know, the stories of the Greek heroes or the Iliad or the Odyssey. Like, this is this grand story from a distant time that is untouchable and unfeelable to me. And that's lame, and it should not be.
Right. No. And the apostles, they were like us as well. You know, Peter with his anger and everything. I feel Peter in myself often.
Yes.
That scene with little James. You guys already know the scene I'm talking about?
Yes.
Where he says, where he's asking Christ why he's healed all these people but won't heal him.
Yeah.
Stop. I was at a retreat and they for high schoolers, and the priest or whoever was giving the talk said, and I can't do any better than this. And then he just played The Chosen. It. I was like, let's talk about that. Like
There's been a couple moments, like similarly, like with our Catholic center, that I believe it was the woman at the well, of like, we were doing this Bible study or something, this talk, like the woman that came in, she's awesome. She's Bible scholar, truly. And she comes in and she's like, I cannot like make it more, you know, perceivable than this. And just like shows the Chosen with Jesus, like meeting that woman at the well. And like, again, just like the, cause you know, in prayer, like we have like Lectio Divina, which is that meditation prayer, for those who might not know. And it's like, gosh, it helps it, because, you know, God works in your imagination when you're praying, but then there's also this reality where it's, like, it helps to see it on the screen and to see, like, her joy. Like, something I love praying about with that scene is, like, her coming in with, like, gosh, so many burdens, I'm sure, and then just leaving with this, like, intense joy that only the Lord can give, which that's what he was telling her in that moment. And, like, gosh, like, to see that, like, on a screen and to, like, talk, and then be able to talk about that and bring out, you know, the, like, right. Seeing it, again, like, beauty is supposed to point us up to God, and that, like, production does that a lot, but especially when we're talking about the story of all stories, and it, like, brings you out, and you can see it, and then it points you up to, like, yourself and your relationship with the Lord. It's really, it's incredible.
I'm so interested to see how they handle the Passion, right?
Yeah.
Because it's going to be radically different than what they've done so far. And it's sort of the only part of the show that already has sort of, like, a, like, it's been done well. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, there's 10,000 different gospel story depictions that exist out there. But once again, I don't think any that have had anywhere near the production value of The Chosen. But The Passion is one that's been done really, really well that a lot of people have seen, right? I don't own a lot of movies. I own The Passion. It's one that I watch regularly. And I'm interested in how they do that because that's going to be really, I don't know, really tough.
I think it's going to be really cool to see. I have a feeling they're going to highlight a lot of relationships through The Passion because, and that's like how Christ encounters us is like, through personal relationships, and they've set that up so well through having these past seasons and all the different storylines and like how Peter finally comes to trust God after being so angry with him, and then now Thomas, you know, we're seeing the behind the scenes of like why is he doubting Thomas, you know, why does he have those doubts if he's seen and followed Christ's work for years and years, what led him to that place, and so we're seeing all the behind the scenes. So I feel like during The Passion, I'm hoping and I'm thinking we're gonna see a lot of like eye contact with people on the sides and like the stories just kind of elaborating like from there. And of course the women, season five, he meets with all the women and he says like, I want you guys to keep your distance from me these next few days. And they're like, why? But as we know in the Stations of the Cross, like they will be there and they'll be mourning and weeping for Jesus. So they, to see that.
Speaking of the women, I think that's something they've done such a good job with because I'm probably too cynical and jaded every time there's like a woman introduced into some historical story. I'm like, oh, let me guess. She's some girl boss who's somehow going to kill the Viking that's 7 feet tall. And she's 120 pounds and gorgeous. That's ridiculous, right? And so, I mean, I'll be honest, right? As soon as like Mary Magdalene is introduced as one of the main characters in the beginning, I'm like, oh, here we go. This is going to be good. They have knocked it out of the park of making strong female characters that are strong in their femininity, not making them strong female characters who act masculine, therefore they're quote unquote strong, right? But making them really strong, good women who are strong because they are women, not because they're acting like men.
Yeah, and I think we'll see that too, hopefully, like a lot in the passion scene with Mary and Jesus and like, gosh, the strength of Mary and like, but also the humility and like the trust.
And there's been some dialogue between John, the beloved, and Mary. And to see, like, I've been thinking, like, oh, they're going to both be, like, in a couple of days, they'll be standing at the foot of Jesus' cross together. And just like, all of these actors are incredible. Sometimes
amazing,
in these kind of films, you do have, like, the Hallmark kind of actors, you know, where, like, there's, like, the cheesy grin after. But they're all so dedicated to the story they're telling. And you can tell it's been, like, they're praying through it. Yeah. And, like, people are 100%. So supporting it in prayer.
I think they've got to be really prayerful people, and the production crew and everybody's going to be all over it.
That was another thing that I was thinking about earlier with, like, Jonathan Rumi being Catholic. Like, because, gosh, the Eucharist, the experience of the Eucharist on this earth, like, that is an experience, like it is the experience, you know, and like for him to be experiencing that and then also praying with that and having the grace of truly our Lord and the body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist, and then to be at the Last Supper with the disciples like that. I mean, can you imagine how much that probably changes everything?
Did they show John 6 at the Last Supper? Did they show him actually?
Well, they're working up scene,
No spoilers, and we're gonna have to take a real quick pause. Man, this flies by really fast when you spend 10 minutes talking about bourbon and then you get in the this is super fun. All right, we're gonna kick off more of this conversation here in a minute. We do have to take a really quick break. You got anything to close out, Julian?
Not to close out. I'll bring it up in a moment.
Sounds good. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of AM 1160 The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We will be right back.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160 The Quest.
Let's see, I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM, too.
Please, prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. Is that good?
That was great. Yeah, you nailed it. Awesome. Yeah.
We're going to jump back into All Things Chosen here in a minute. Tessa, you are one of my favorite guests to have on the show because you...
Thanks?
No, no. Sorry to all of our other guests.
Yeah, no, but. She is because... And you can back me up on this. She's like the most supportive person I have. Like, I gave a talk at your student center that one time.
Yes.
And I'm like, yes. You're like nodding in the back. And like, mm-hmm. Like smile. You like smile real big and laugh when you're supposed to. I just appreciate it. It's really cool.
I'm feeling it with you, man.
It's
I'm
really good. There. Yeah. It's really good.
When she becomes a nun, she might be sitting back there like,
no.
There's a couple of people I know who are really good nodders. And as somebody who talks not a lot, but fairly frequently, right, gives talks, a good nodder will change the whole trajectory. If you just got somebody in the front row just like nodding, just looking at you like, yes.
It really is a blessing and a curse. Yeah. Because I can when I'm invested in something, like, I'm completely invested in it, but when I'm invested in something, I'm completely invested in it. So anything else is coming around. Like if I need to watch my kids at the end of the school and I'm like really having conversation with one of them and the other one's like danger and danger. Like
in the traffic.
Yeah. So anyway.
That's really
thank you.
So speaking of kids, Jesus used to be a kid. That was not my best segue. No.
I'll tell you what, I'll give you an opportunity to redeem yourself. So okay, I'm going to chime in really fast for all of our listeners who, if you're listening in the car, do us a favor and pull over your car right now and subscribe to Honest to God on YouTube and like this video. Shoot us a comment. Talk about your favorite Jesus or chosen moment. But also, I have to let you know that I have been fact-checked from the wonderful team that stands behind us. We don't call them the corporate overlords anymore.
Can't do it. Not allowed.
We have an incredible team that you cannot see here. The pretty faces get the...
Dozens of them.
Dozens of them. But there's a lot that makes this happen. So Dallas Jenkins did not produce Left Behind. His father did. So I've been corrected, and I wanted to make sure that you knew the truth, because we are all about the truth here at Honest.
Praise God.
To God.
And just to make sure that we're not hurting anybody's feelings, obviously the rapture is just like Christian fan fiction, but, and I mean the concept, right? It's a really cool idea for a story.
Right.
Like, if I were making up my own Christian fan fiction, I would totally go with, and then God sucks a bunch of people he likes up into heaven, and everybody else has to fight the devil who lives on earth.
Right, and we call that COVID.
And there was a remake of it that I never saw, starring Nicolas Cage.
It wasn't bad. Wow. I did.
I'm a sucker.
They did a sequel of it, which was also pretty good, so it kind of brought it into the modern context as well.
Yeah. And big shout out once again to all those cheesy old Sherwood Baptist movies. I'm not kidding. Fireproof, Facing the Giants. Have you seen Fireproof or Facing the Giants? Mm-hmm. Y'all got to see. You have?
Yeah.
They're so good.
They're good.
Okay, no bad, good. terrible acting. Very good movies, though.
Great.
Good. Yeah. All right. So, Grace, when we were off air a second ago, you were talking about coming back to the humanity of Jesus. Yes. And you mentioned a couple of scenes. I do want to kind of do like a favorite scene kind of discussion.
Oh, how do you choose a favorite? But yeah. I can go back to the ones
it's
I was saying.
It's the one with little James, because it makes me feel feelings and I'm not comfortable, and I'm like, I hope I don't tear up because I don't want my kids to see me crying at the television.
That's the best thing. Happening.
Yeah. Here. I think I've cried every episode, if not darn near every episode.
Mm-hmm. One of the ones I was talking about that I do want to go back to, this one, it's up there amongst favorites, but like I said, I can't choose. I couldn't possibly. But it's one of the stories that I always remember reading about and hearing about in the Bible, is when Jesus's friend Lazarus dies and he's not there to save him beforehand. And he in this storyline, he knows that he is sick and he doesn't go back. But then he enters the city and they're in mourning, right? And then when he finds out that he had died, he is just absolutely shattered, and he like tears his clothes
in
anguish.
His garments.
He falls to the ground. He's just weeping, and he's so sad, and it's like he wept.
Yeah.
And it's moments like those where it's like he entered into every single one of those human moments because he knew that we would experience those, and he wanted to be able to say, like, I'm there with you in that. Like, I know what that's like. Well, that's why he took on flesh.
Well, but going back once again to Jesus Christ's humanity, that is something that we forget all the time. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ was just as tempted towards all the things, right? And obviously that's not a moment of temptation with Lazarus. That's a moment of sorrow, right, in mourning. But in regards to sin, he allowed himself to experience the same thing. He literally... actually knows what it feels like to feel the way that you feel, right? In any circumstance. Mm-hmm. And that's really hard for me to grasp. Like, I can mentally ascend to that, but it's really hard for me to, like, wrap my head around that. And in a moment where I'm tempted to sin or I'm struggling with whatever it is, right? I'm really upset because something bad happened. I feel like everything's not fair. Mm-hmm. Christ did that. He's been there too, right? It's not like he had supernatural, I don't know, unfazed apathy powers.
Right.
He didn't, right? That would detract from his humanity.
Yeah. I think that's like a really awesome thing about The Chosen too. Like, what a great gift. Because, like, I was just thinking when you were saying that, like, the reality of those two words, he wept. I'm pretty sure that's the shortest verse in the Bible. Yeah. And just like, I mean, again, the Lord can do anything in your prayer, but it's really awesome to have that be drawn out and like, okay, because when you're reading it, you know, a lot of times I just read it like genuinely.
He wept
and then moving around. But like, yeah, to see that, like he wept, like, yeah. And that's just a huge gift that I think The Chosen gives us too.
You mentioned, but I didn't see it. So I want you to tell me about it. The scene in the temple with the money changers.
Oh, yeah.
That I want so badly a painting of that in my house. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you're going to love it. You got to go to theaters and see it.
Did they show him braiding the whip?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good. That's the most important part. When I get talks to boys all the time, I talk about righteous anger. And I talk about in that scene with the money changers, Jesus didn't find a whip. Right? No. Jesus sat down and was like, ooh, in about 45 minutes when I'm finished with this whip, I'm going to tear y'all up because this is the right thing to do. Y'all need to be whipped.
They depicted that as being like the night before, like a little bit before he even went to the temple. So he's sitting there and he's like praying and he's methodically like tearing it. And the craftsmanship is beautiful too.
Yeah, it really is.
It's just, everything is just so beautiful. And then he goes and he sees it and he's like looking at the place that's supposed to be full of like praise and honor towards God and giving God what he is due, and people have just been using it as a way of like making money or in just like scamming people and things. So it's like an injustice against his people but also amongst his people. And you really see, like, I don't know, you see how it's a loving act to destroy it all,
right?
And just to really bring clarity in that moment. It's like, I don't know, if you've ever seen like a kid's running to traffic and the dad grabs the kid, snatches him, and yells like, "Don't do that!"
Yeah,
it seems a little violent at first, but you realize like this is all for your benefit. That's exactly what I feel like. It made that make sense in this scene that I hadn't seen before. What about you? What was your take on it?
Yeah, I was just thinking like, and like Jesus being our example, just the love between him and the Father in that moment, because it's like, I'm pretty sure he says something about it being like his Father's house.
Yeah.
And like, this is like my Father's house. And like Jesus was human too. Like he could have done that and like cared totally. Like I would be totally thinking about what everyone else is thinking of me right now. Like just flipping tables and this like they're all going to kick me out. Like they're going to hate me. Like that's the kind of thing I would be thinking about. But like he was so in love, so like with everyone but also with God to do that. It's really beautiful.
We were talking about like seeing ourselves in each of these characters and something that I found myself doing, which is like a scary thought, but with Judas, they're doing a great job of making him just another great disciple.
You like him so much.
And I was seeing myself, so in these scenes, you know, Jesus is really starting to cause some division. He said, like, I'm not here to bring everyone together and just be all lovey-dovey. Like, let's hold hands and sing Kumbaya. Like, he's like, I'm coming to teach you the truth, and we're going to, like, renew these old covenants, and I'm going to bring you these new covenants. Yeah. And it's big stuff, and it's life-changing stuff, so there is division. And Judas is, like, one of those people that's a quote-unquote voice of reason. He's like, hey, I don't think we should be doing this right now. Like, you're kind of upsetting people, but you're supposed to be the Messiah. Let's get in with them, and, like, I can use my gifts that you've given me. Like, let's build this kingdom, and, like, you can be the king. And I think a lot of times, like, in my own way, I can do that in my prayer where I'm like, how about we do it this way, God? Because, like, isn't this so good? And I did it using, like, all of my skills that you've given me. Like, this is a really good way.
Yes.
And he's like, no. And so it's kind of, like, what we do with that, like, no, like, what we're going to do with that. That kind of sets us maybe, hopefully, apart from Judas.
Yes.
But it's crazy to
see again,
that.
Once again, though, I have a lot of sympathy for Judas.
Yeah.
Like, not in the show. I mean, in general. Like, and I know that's weird.
I never did.
That's a weird take. But I you do see the guy's point, right? Yeah. He really isn't. The difference between Peter and Judas primarily is that Peter repents.
Yeah, the repentance. Right?
Yeah.
Right? Peter denies Jesus repeatedly, yeah. right? But the difference is that he then comes back and says, hey, I'm really sorry. I messed up. Yeah. And I hope that that's me. I hope that I yeah. end up, right, mm-hmm. repenting. I mean, I do all the time. I went to confession the other day. Right. I promise to do it again. But that's the main distinction. And so you see yeah. this, and you get it more. We were talking on an episode recently about talking online to people versus talking face-to-face. And yeah. I feel like my relationship with Jesus, because of The Chosen, is a lot more like I'm talking to you face-to-face as opposed to arguing with you as a nameless person
yes.
online. Because you read the Bible, like, Judas, what a jerk.
Yes.
I could never. But then you see him, and they do a great yeah. job in the beginning of making you like Judas just in general. He's yeah. a good guy. He's yeah. a cool guy. Everybody yeah. likes Judas. Yeah. Hang out with Judas. And now as they're slowly peppering those things in, mm-hmm. you start to say, oh, wait, this is a guy. He's a good guy, but he's doing these things. He shouldn't be doing these things. Wait a minute, but I like him, but he's yeah. a real person. But, yeah, it's really cool. Mm-hmm. That's one of the really good things about the power of this mm-hmm. kind of media, right?
Yeah.
And
yes.
the fact that, thank goodness, it seems like for the first time ever, mm-hmm. we have Christians telling the story of Christianity yeah. in a way that's good. Has anybody, I don't mean to sidetrack from The Chosen, yeah. but has anybody watched the David story of David thing on Amazon?
No.
I haven't either. I've watched a couple of YouTube clips.
Maybe that'll be the next episode.
Yeah. yeah.
There you go.
I've heard it's really, really good, but yeah. I don't know. So, all right, what else? I want to dig into this, and I like the question that you brought up, Grace, in regards to characters that you really identify with.
I have a big one. Do it.
So Mary Magdalene. My conversion story is on the interwebs. Interwebs.
on the interwebs.
Oh, she's becoming a nun, guys. Yeah,
but like seriously, like, and I have a glory story to part with this that just happened on my trip to Colorado. I just visited my brother in Colorado. Oh my gosh, it's so beautiful. And like just again, like heaven becoming so real and these like encounters with the people on The Chosen, but yeah. then like and it has to be taken off the screen into your prayer. It has to happen, you know? But yeah, so I like in the first like episode of The Chosen, she is just a hot mess and Jesus comes to her and embraces her and just seeing her walk with him. And I totally have experienced a lot of the stuff that she's experienced. But then also like that love of the Lord and then the turning away from him constantly. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited to enter into religious life wherever that takes me, because it's like this radical way of living, like just with the Lord and him becoming my spouse. And like that, I see that in her a lot. And she was honestly the one that encouraged me a lot. But anyway, so I was really, you know, like mourning a lot of the sacrifice that I'm going to have to make.
Totally.
And recently when I was visiting my brother, and so this is just a glory story that pairs with her, and it's worth sharing. But so I'm praying and I'm reading St. Catherine or Blessed Catherine Emmerich, I think is, yeah, she's a blessed. And she has a story of private revelation, believe it or not, you know, but it's good to pray with of Mary Magdalene's life. And so there's a lot of things that match up like with The Chosen too that I love. But so I'm reading and for whatever reason, this particular moment morning, I'm praying with her for like hours, like Mary Magdalene. And then I leave and I go to Mass, and Mass is not happening at the church that I went to. And I was like, dang it, Lord, like you have a plan. But I was really upset about that. And then I end up looking up Mass times, 9 a.m., like an hour later. And I'm like, hey, Tyler, I don't have a car or anything. Like, can you please drive me? And he takes me to this church at St. Mary Magdalene. And they have, like, first of all, the Sisters of Life were there. Praise God.
Awesome.
That was awesome. But there was this relic of Mary Magdalene. And,
no way.
Yes, and her statue. And, like, I mean, just the prayer that I had with her that morning with the Lord and, like, her friendship just being with me. And then, like, seeing that come to life, like, yes, in The Chosen, but then, like, real life. Like,
right.
This is real. Like, she is, like, really my friend. And, like, mm-hmm. we need those, our senses to, like, you know, which is, again, why The Chosen is so great, because right. our senses are holy. They matter. And just to, like, have that relic and to sit with her, like, in her relic and with the tabernacle, like, with our Lord, too, and just, like, everything I was feeling in the morning was like it really turned into joy, like
right.
just being with her. But anyways,
the idea of the Mary Magdalene relic by the tabernacle is really cool too. It's
right?
Because like, you guys are like hanging out, but you're also physically right here in the room.
In the room, hanging out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seriously. So anyway, but so The Chosen, like I feel like my relationship with her, because she's always been one of my favorite mm-hmm. saints, but like The Chosen really highlights her and like really just encourages me through my journey and all like all the sorrow that comes with that, and just seeing her like radically live for the Lord and whatever that looks like. And I think at the one of the episodes she even like it shows her like being a hermit or something, which yeah. that's super radical, but like it's really beautiful the way she like that's what right. this is all for, is just love and the way she loves the Lord and the way he loves her, like also the way he loves her.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah. But anyway, so.
Do you have any good character connections, producer Julian?
Actually, it's funny. Mine is also Mary Magdalene in that same moment, because I watched The Chosen within weeks of my conversion. And so that moment where she goes from Lilith back to Mary was just so powerful to me. I had tears running down. I definitely get very emotional when I watch The Chosen, but that moment particularly.
And that name, Lilith, right, stems from is a Hebrew sort of Hebrew semi-mythology of Lilith being like the anti-Eve.
Sort of a demon.
Adam's first wife, as I've been told by some folks that have named their daughter Lilith.
They named their child that? Yeah. That is tragic.
Unless your name is Lilith.
we love you.
You're doing it. You're doing the Judas thing.
I'm doing the Judas thing.
We do love you. Lily's a beautiful name, though.
Yeah. this is us and our humanness. You see one thing, it's like, oh.
I have two. Humanity. One I already mentioned, which is the Little James moment.
Yes.
I was talking to my spiritual director about this the other day, that I go on and I speak at all these retreats and I run these retreats and I do these different things to minister to other people, right? And praying with people and all the time. But like, I'm still this guy who like sucks, right? I shouldn't say that. This guy who's like not great and has concupiscence and is sinful and everything. And I have so many moments when I'm sitting and talking to Jesus, and we have a little chapel at school. I like to go in there at the end of the day and just kind of like chill with Jesus for a little bit before I go home. Calms me down, gets me in a better mood. I get my prayer time, do my little examine. And so many of my conversations are like, hey, God, can you just fix this? Like, these problems? Can you just fix those for me? I don't want opportunities to fix it myself. Could you just do it?
Because I know you can.
Yeah,
I see you do it with all these other people. I'm always out there with them. I'm like, come on, man. It's going to be great. Just trust in God. And, like, I trust you, but can you just, like, give me one for free? Yeah. That's usually when I'm looking at the crucifix, trying to get him to do something. Like, because he talked to St. Thomas Aquinas. And I'm like, just like a thumbs up while you're up there. Just something, Jesus, on the crucifix, something. Yeah. So that's a big one. And this one's, I feel like this is cliche. Everybody says this. The fact that Peter is such a jerk sometimes makes me so happy.
Yeah.
Like his depiction, it makes me so happy. Because I'm such a jerk sometimes. And like, he's not the best husband in the world. Yeah. And he's a grumpy, just kind of a jerk sometimes. I'm like, yes, okay, all right, that's a good, not a good example of how to be a jerk, but a good example that God can work in my lame, gross jerkiness.
And I love that you said that too, because Eden is another one of those characters that's like, she's not like a super main character, but she portrays such a great love, like, for him and for God. And just like, I mean, you guys could probably experience this in your marriages, like just the beauty of the woman, and you know, we're not perfect either, but like, they really have a gift and ability to like help, you know, to point you back to the, like, 100%. She does that with like Peter all the time, or Simon at the time, but you know, points him back to the Lord in like very specific moments during the layout of the show. It's like, hey, but God's here. Hey, but and like, and she loves it, and she like calls him out with no fear, and she's like, I love you, but like, you're a mess right now. What happened to the guy? I think she literally says, what happened to the guy I married, or something but not in a condemning way. It's in a loving.
I also really like the scene, and it was earlier, I forget what season it was, but early, with the fish, when he sells him to cast the net over. And I love Peter's reaction, because it's so my reaction. I'm just like kind of laughing at him. Like, God, that's the worst idea I've ever heard. And I mean, he didn't know he was God then, but I still do that. I'm like, God, that's ridiculous. I'm like, you want me to do that? Clearly, that's a terrible idea, though. So I know better, obviously. I shouldn't do that. And then I don't. And then eventually, like 4 years later, I do the thing that God obviously wants me to do. And I'm like, okay, that was really, thank you. I should have done that forever.
That is so real.
Weird. It's almost like the omnipotent, omniscient being that loves me more than anything
and knows
was
your
right.
Heart. Yeah.
I do have one other scene that is one of my favorites. And I can't remember which apostles that he's with. And I think it's in the first season where there are some, I guess they were Pharisees or some people walking by Jesus and his two apostles, and they like spit at him and they made fun of him, and his two apostles were like, Lord, rain fire down on them. Then they like lose their mind, and he's just like, would you two stop?
Right.
Yeah.
You want me to use the power of God to rain fire down on them because they spit at you? You two have a lot to learn.
Yes.
And that's me. I'm like, I have a lot to learn.
Dude, if I'm being honest, I have a lot in common with the Pharisees a lot. I see me and them in a big way. Gotta calm down that spiritual pride a little bit, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
You mentioned off air, producer Julian, about The Chosen is a form of evangelization. You want to dig into that a little bit?
I did, yeah. So I've got a couple of friends who are really into performing arts and whatnot, and they have kind of fallen away from the faith a bit. They were Catholic growing up, and they're really good friends of mine. So I suggested, I said, hey, why don't you check out The Chosen? And let me just be real with you. It is not like a Jesus movie or Jesus TV show that we grew up with that were... You know, I'm sorry, but terrible.
Like Dallas Jenkins' dad produced. And, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
Anybody who can appreciate a really good quality production, which we've echoed on this show multiple times, would appreciate this show. And you don't have to even believe in Jesus, but you can know that he was a real person and just watch it and see what he experienced. Mm-hmm. And I believe that he did check it out and is, you know, hopefully planted some kind of seed. But that is it's a tool that you can use for evangelization.
My dad had, and I keep coming back to my dad, but once again, this is this really cool thing that we share that we both really like, and so I like to talk about, has always had a much sort of gentler disposition towards all things Christian than I have, right? And I mean that as a compliment, right? Mm-hmm. I can be way too, like I said, way too pharisaical in regards to a lot of that. And I don't think he did this on purpose. Maybe he did. Maybe he's playing like 3D underwater chess with me or something in regards to all this. But I really do think that the Chosen and the example that it set has tempered it and made me understand sort of his view of Jesus in a better way that's probably more rightly ordered, right? Mm-hmm. Talking about stuff that I've said to my spiritual director, I was just there yesterday, so it's kind of fresh in my head. Mm-hmm. I was talking about how much more I've always understood, or at least felt like I understood, God the Father mm-hmm. in his justice, right? I mm-hmm. get that. That makes sense to me. My temperament is more wired towards that. Wow. You do this. I told you not to do this. Therefore, justice is that you get this punishment, right? Wow. So like fire and brimstone God, like I'm going to turn you into pillar of salt. Shouldn't turn around. Told you not to turn around. How hard is it not to turn around?
Yeah, that one's on you.
Yeah. Fire and brimstone God. That makes sense to me. That's always made sense to me. Wow. But I think my dad has always had a much closer and like better relationship with the Jesus who's like merciful, right? Mm. Who loves you and sort of the prodigal son kind of situation of like, that's dude, beautiful. I just love you. I just want to hang out with you. Yeah. And I'm not saying that is entirely correct. The total view of God is merciful, right? But it's also not entirely correct to view God as all justice, right? God is right. Perfectly just and perfectly merciful, yeah. Right? Together. And the show has really, I think, helped me with that, has tempered myself a little bit. The reading today at Mass was one of those lines about when you hear my word, harden not your hearts or something, was in the reading. And like, dude, I got a hard heart. Yeah. It needs to be softened. So yeah.
All of the Chosen production, and then especially Jonathan Rumi, like it's in his eyes. Like his eyes carry so much of the acting,
I'm
and
so
there's
glad
so
you
much
said that.
Mercy and love.
I'm so glad you said that. Yeah. Yes, like that, oh my gosh. And that is like, I mean, he's acting, yes, but that has to be real.
Oh,
like I will
100%.
Make a bold claim because like if someone, and I only know this because I've been there, like if someone has not experienced the love and the joy of the Lord, like the woman at the well, like the mm-hmm. change yeah. between that, like when she went back to that town, that's how they probably like believed her because of her eyes just yeah. glowing. And so again, going back to the Eucharist and him like receiving Jesus in that way and it mm-hmm. changing you like from the inside out and like the eyes being the window to the soul. And it's like, that's real. Like that is so, and it's, mm-hmm. and the gift of like the Holy Spirit working through us too. Cause like, you know, the Holy Spirit is working on that set all around, especially if he's open to it. Like I know Jonathan's open to it, you know? And to like see that, like, oh my gosh. Yeah. And through his eyes too, because that is just, yeah. It's, and I think for whatever reason too, like that is one of the reasons why I have had these like deep encounters with like, it's not Jonathan. That's like Jesus.
Right.
Like,
we love you, but no.
Jonathan's in persona.
No, yeah. Truly. I mean,
not literally.
Yeah, but like, but he has been given this gift by God for acting, and he's taken it and really like used that with his faith and has like fallen in love with Jesus. I'm going to boldly claim that because what's being portrayed is love. Of God, and like seeing that in his eyes,
it's so believable. It has to be true.
Yes, yeah, and that has been like so life changing for me, like as a spectator, like watching this, because it's like at that moment, it's like wow, like that's really Christ, because it really is the Lord. It really is the Lord working.
And you see that in like friends and family at home too. Like I've seen it in your eyes. Like you see Christ in other people for sure.
Yeah, when he's alive in them, and like Christ is with everybody. Like sometimes he might be in the tomb of our hearts if we're in mortal sin or sin in any way, or whatever. But like he's also alive in us too. and it's and it shows, like, it really, it does show. So
that's
yeah.
beautiful. That was really good. That, oh, that was awesome. Does anybody know, and we're almost out of time already yeah. somehow, but does anybody know how far the show goes? Like, what?
My mom was saying she thinks it goes to 7 seasons.
I hope they do the acts.
So does it go through, like, acts?
Right. I hope so. Is that going to be something different?
Do we meet Paul?
Yeah.
Not sure. Well, the thing with the timeline right now yeah. that they're doing, you know, we don't have much time here, but yeah. they're kind of splicing back and forth mm-hmm. and even going further yes. into the future with yeah. yeah, Mary Magdalene being, like, a hermit.
And John Olds writing his gospels.
Yes. After, yeah, showing, yeah. like, Matthew with his giant beard dictating yeah. and yes. all that. I just...
So I think, yeah, they'll probably... Yeah.
I heard it was going through the resurrection, right? Mm-hmm. It goes through all of that, which is yeah. good. It would be really lame.
That's a good news.
See y'all later. We ran out of money.
Roll the credits.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm super optimistic. And I feel kind of bad for the showrunners because I feel like there's so much pressure because they've yeah. done so good.
Yeah.
Right? That's a lot of pressure. But they're yeah. killing it. I highly recommend everybody check it out. And check yeah. out Jonathan Remy's interview on Pints for Aquinas, where he gets into a lot of nice. His own spirituality and some of that. He does a great job of that. All right, you guys got any closing thoughts in the last 45 seconds or so?
Praise God.
Praise God.
For this yeah. great gift. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Heather, if you haven't seen it, make sure you check it out yeah. and introduce it to a friend. I love what you said.
Yeah. Like,
share it with somebody else. It is a form of evangelization, whether yeah, it was meant to be or not. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Any closing thoughts, Producer Julian?
I have nothing other than make sure you like and comment down below.
Absolutely.
And go see season 5 in theaters.
Yeah,
is
there
it
you
all
go.
In theaters, season 5?
Well, so at least the first part.
Yeah, first yeah. part.
By the time this airs, probably the second part.
Yeah, I think, and also I think the third part, too.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so
well, go check it out in theaters. thanks for watching. Thanks for listening, guys. This has been Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. Producer Julian.
Signing off.
Over and out.
This has been Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.